It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
That's right. It is a Tuesday in the loop on Sports
it's
Radio 60.
Stop it.
All right.
I thought we were past that. What's going on here? Yeah. I thought we were past that.
It's been a minute, man, since I played that.
That was, but there's a reason why it's been a minute, ain't it? Lopez, you okay? Are you offended?
I am. It hurts inside.
Okay.
It hurts inside.
Well, I would just like to apologize to our brothers and sisters and
Right here.
For that LeBron right James drop.
Especially that figure did it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I got to go to an online training.
Yep, yeah, exactly. Speaking of, actually, I think I have a training still in the day.
Yeah.
Before we get to any of that, we got to do a little in the loop on a Tuesday. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Always get involved with the program. The YouTube and Twitch are open and available for you. That's Sports Radio 610 on YouTube, 610 Houston on Twitch. But always text in to the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Brought to you by 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. How we living on a Tuesday outside of LeBron James?
I am living great. I'm feeling good. I will say, as I mentioned to Sean and Seth, these types of losses normally don't linger into Tuesday where your initial gut reaction is still there. My initial gut reaction is still there. I can't believe they lost this damn game. I can't believe they lost this game. It shouldn't have happened. And it ties in with exactly what we're going to talk about right now.
Yeah. It's funny. I rewatched the game last night in the midst of Monday Night Football. So had a lot more attention on Texans-Lions than I did on the Dolphins playing last night. But I felt a little bit better than I did. Like, I felt like, okay, maybe I was a little reactionary on the Lions game because of all of the emotions of seeing that rise and then seeing the fall in the course of it. You know, the late game heroics by Jake Bates of the Lions and all those things. However, I still have that disappointment. It's just not to the same degree. But there's not anything you can do about that game in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, as much as you've talked about it as a tipping point game, I think you get through that game, and now you look at the remainder of the schedule, at least the next few games, and there's some winnable games, downright winnable games, in fact, including, obviously, Monday Night Football coming up this upcoming Monday against a drama-filled, real terse franchise when it comes to the Cowboys. But let's go ahead and ask this question, Lopez. Is there anything that can happen between now and the bye week, week 14, that'll make you feel like this squad is back on track? Because I think that's really the big issue. There's a lot of consternation about this team, and it feels like, although some people are like, hey, it's a 3-point loss against the Lions, you are kind of in a better place
than talked about. Given what happened?
I don't know that everybody is, right? Like, that's the tough part about it. A fan base is not a monolith. There's different subsections within it. But I think, by and large, most people would say that this team is not on the track that they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that can happen in the next few weeks, next 3 weeks, that will get you to that place where you feel like they're back on track?
Well, let me lay it out for you and Figgy and our listeners, 713-572-4610. I'm very curious, you know, the old pulse of the fan base. Is there anything that can happen between now and December 15th, in my view, that can change the way that you
in the next month
look at this team in the next month?
Because you have Cowboys on the road Monday.
That should be a dub.
Monday night. And then you'll have the Titans at home.
Yes.
And then you'll get the Jaguars at Everbank in Jacksonville.
Yes. And then you have a bye week. So week 14 is a bye week. So like in the next month, here's my answer. I feel like the only thing that can affect your mood about this team, only bad things can affect your mood.
You think so?
Because you're expected. I am fully expecting 3-0 these next 3 weeks going into the bye week.
Sure, but I think we have gotten a good lesson in these first 10 games.
But that's what I'm saying. That would be bad. Like the only things that can happen between now and the Miami game on December 15th are bad things in terms of the mood and how you look at this team. Because like if they spit the bit, let's say against, well, they're going to beat the Cowboys, but let's say against the Cowboys, all of a sudden, we, you know, we're looking at a team that's in complete disarray. You know, Tennessee, you should absolutely win here. Jacksonville, they're a mess over there. And by then, there might be a bigger mess. You should probably win that, and you play well at Jacksonville, and it's a division game. And what do they have, two wins? Whatever it is, you should absolutely win. So, yeah, if you win those three games, are you going to be like, hey, we're back?
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, I don't know. Lopez, have we not learned in 10 games that it's not simply about the win or the loss, but the way that you do it as well, right? Yeah. Like, I think that you're not wrong in, I think, pointing to the idea that there's more bad than good in these possibilities, right? If you say that, I don't have any real pushback on that. But I think there are some goods, and I think it starts very much with the fact that through these first 10 games, with the good, the bad, and the ugly of the Texans, they're in the first halves, they have outscored their opponents 142-85, and in the second halves they have been outscored 141-82. Right, I think second halves are going to be very telling in this next three game stretch, especially because I understand these are not contenders that you're facing off against. Right, two of these teams are in the AFC South that's woeful. Right, we understand that, and then one of them is the gosh darn Cowboys, who are falling over themselves.
Yeah,
understood, but yet and still. One of these teams you beat by only 4 points earlier on in the season, right? Which is the Jacksonville Jaguars. And that was at home, right? On the road, how about you not just beat them, but you beat them in a convincing manner, right? How about you pull a little bit of a Detroit Lions, and not only do you go and win against the team that you're supposed to, but you put them in the dirt. Hello, Dallas Cowboys. Remember, that's what the Detroit Lions did to the Cowboys. Now, of course, they might have had a little extra motivation when you talk about the Lions-Cowboys game the year before with all the things that happened and the, you know, ineligible receiver or the lineman that did not declare or whatever you would like to call it there.
Yeah.
So maybe they had a little extra motivation. But damn it, if you don't tell me that this Texas team has a little motivation to go and not just win the football game but apply pressure in the second half and prove that they can actually score in those circumstances, I think that those are the types of things that if you are able to shift the way that you play and you show up in the second half, I'll have a level of belief that maybe we could try it on a contender,
I think,
on December 15th versus the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think that could happen. You know, if it's style points is what we're saying here, and you go 3-0 in these next three games, you go into the bye week.
Not style points, process.
Yeah.
Process. Yeah.
Same thing.
So, I like mine better, though.
Yours sounds more luxurious, but either way, let me ask you, and Figgy, let me ask you this. Keep this in mind as well before you answer, listeners and Figgy. The Texans.
What? Figgy don't be listening. He said Figgy don't be listening. That's the problem. Well,
listeners and Figgy.
Including Figgy. You have
Figgy and the listeners.
You have exactly one double-digit win this year. One.
Yeah, and that's the Patriots.
That was the Patriots.
41-21.
You have
Man, what a time. Yeah. Don't you just want to go back then?
Yeah.
Going into New England and whooping their keisters?
This squad, the purported contender, the acknowledged, boy, do they have talent team. They have one double-digit win. So let's say you win by double digits against the Cowboys, which at this point is probably, greatly expected. And then you win, whether it's double digits or comfortably, however you want to put it, against the Titans.
Comfortably
and the
is double digits.
Sorry. Yeah. So, Figgy, will that change? Forget like the elements of this team that we know are there. Would it change the way you feel about where they are as a team if they get those three wins like that?
I will feel, honestly, it kind of feel like last season where they did win the games they should have won. And it was a couple games they should have won that they didn't, but it would feel like last season to me, man. And which is not, I guess, is not a great thing, because we was talking about Super Bowl and AFC championships and all that stuff. But I don't know. I don't know how it would feel, to be honest, especially if it's like some close games.
And there's your answer. That's the answer. I mean, I think that's where a lot of, and we're gonna get to some texts and some messages on Twitch and YouTube as well. 713-572-4610. Texans are in a weird spot. You can win these next three games. Let's say one of them or two of them is another close win, like they've had the majority of their wins this year. Are you like, hey, it's happening, they're turning it around, or are you still in wait and see mode? I would still be. Obviously, you're happy with three wins, but I'd still be in wait and see.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I understand that. I'm not saying that I would be remiss to try and present this as you go out there, you beat the mess out of these three teams, and all of a sudden all is hunky dory, right? I can't do that for you. But I hear you on the 2-8 from the 2-8-1 on the 5-hour energy fan line. No to style points, Reggie. Beating bad teams and looking good doesn't matter. Here's the problem though. That would be a marked difference from what you've seen from this Texans team thus far. Because you've had teams that are downright beatable in the course of this run, and you have not done that. You've not put them out of their misery in that way. Even in the game week one that you felt like, oh man, you know, Joe Mixon put up 100 and Nico Collins is, you know, going and ooh, look at all this. 29-27, that's a 2-point victory.
Yeah.
Right? Like I think that there is something to be noted if you can get out here and if you can put these things all the way together with a solid second half and running away from a team, because the only time you did that was against a Patriots team that was literally starting their rookie quarterback for the very first time.
Yeah. So here we are in November, and we're saying and thinking much the same things as we were 2 months ago. How do they look matters, whether you want to call it process or style points or whatever. And the 2-8-1 says it. If these next three games are one-score games, I'd be just as worried as I am right now.
Now, some other things that come in on the text line from the 832. Health and no more suspensions would make me feel better at the bye week. Also, scoring 30 points and scoring in the second half would remedy it. So definitely the second part, like, we are 100% in agreement with. How do you feel about the idea of just like, hey, man, be healthy? Because this was a team that started out in that early portions and you're like, oh, it's pretty healthy. And then, you know, the health dipped very quickly, and it's something that you've been dealing with, understandably so, because it is football. It is the car crash sport. However, a lot of things, sometimes with football, it can be somewhat as simple as, who wins the war of attrition? Who is pretty healthy? Like, would just getting to the bye week largely healthy help you at all?
Well, health for sure. And you know, Nico at the top of the list, Will Anderson at the top of the list, et cetera. But let me ask you this, both you guys and our lovely listeners. If you win some close games, which this team has you know, made a habit of doing, but you're giving up fewer sacks and hits, that's the kind of style points that might make you feel different, even if they are close games, right?
Sure.
Because it's the line, it's C.J. Stroud with whatever's going on, you know, between the ears when he gets pressured, which I think is undeniable at this point. You know, if he starts looking like that confident C.J. in the first half, and he's not getting four sacks and nine pressures as he was, you know, against the Lions, or eight sacks like he did against the Jets, I think it comes down to that. I think it comes down to the same thing we were talking about 2 months ago. Offensive line and pressure on C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, I mean, because not only would that help you affect, you know, get your offense going better, right? Just having more protection to be able to go out and, you know, do the things and execute the offense in a way that it feels like you just haven't in this middle stretch of the season. But also, that helps protect the biggest asset on your team. And you can already see, we were talking about it in the handoff, we've been talking about it early on here, you can see the shift in C.J. Stroud. And I don't know how much of that is simply the protection and having to look down, knowing that he has to look down and he can't just look up down the field and see what's developing there. He has to be very considerate of who's coming and are they breaking our protection down, and from where would that be happening. But also, I do wonder how much of this is just like the step up in responsibility. One of the things about this Shanahan offense is it does make it easier on a quarterback, right? And that is something that pretty wholesale Bobby Slowik has brought here, right? And in year one, that was helpful. It was helpful to have a little bit of protection to CJ. As much as we want to give CJ praise, and he deserves it for how he ran it, there are some protective elements. It feels like he is taking on, and he said as much, as he's taking on more of the responsibility of this. But you could feel you could almost tangibly feel the weight of the added kind of perspective that he has taken on with this offense, and an offensive line that is more stout. more capable of handling up their blocks mm-hmm. and hopefully run blocking a little bit better as well would absolutely help alleviate that for him going forward, so you're not seeing that strain on him as a quarterback, because he's absolutely necessary. He's the engine of what happens here. And without him playing, not just like being healthy, but without him playing at his highest, I think that limits your altitude that you can get to.
No, I absolutely. And you know, you mentioned Bobby Slowik. That's another element of these style points we're talking about. If the play calling still seems to be a little confounding, if there are moments when Bobby Slowik is clearly doing things in the second half that are not producing points. Keep in mind, they haven't scored a second half touchdown in 4 weeks. Now they have the Cowboys, Titans, and Jaguars. Even if they maybe even protect CJ, you know, marginally better, but they're not scoring in the second half, how does that make you feel? And then it comes down on Bobby Slowik even more.
Yeah, and that's why in the opposite direction, I would feel good if you're going out there and not just doing that, but doing that to a high level. Mm-hmm. On the text line from the 281, beating the Cowboys by 50 would help relieve some of my personal stress.
Yes.
Understood. And I agree.
That sounds like a personal victory right there.
But you know what? I feel like people need it.
Just in time for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I feel like the people need it.
When that uncle come in.
Yeah.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah, that hating ass uncle.
God.
Oh yeah,
like them Cowboys.
That's a great point.
Whoop.
Just hey man,
how about need that for Thanksgiving?
How about
man.
You make me feel better in that I don't have to defend y'all. I don't have to turn into a defense attorney talking to these people that
how
I don't want to talk to.
How about America's team?
Yeah.
What's up, Unc?
By the way, the Texans is going to be a season maker for the Cowboys.
If it goes the wrong way for the Texans,
yeah.
I don't think that thing is too far gone.
No, it is.
That thing is way too far gone. They're laughing at themselves up there in the Metroplex. But it I don't know that it would fix anything up there, funny enough.
No. But in terms of what you're talking about, the uncle.
They'd have plenty.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need to give them
those
folks
Texans tonight. Fans that are among us. And we know who they are.
Ooh, you calling some people out. 346, Al Davis never said win pretty or win big, baby, just win. That's the quote.
That doesn't apply.
I think that you've already seen the faults in that logic this season.
Yeah.
I think you've already seen the faults in that logic. And I think for a lot of folks, we got to the point where we're like, hey, possible Super Bowl contenders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the idea was, well, they're just winning. Well, you see how quickly that can go away.
Yeah. And they felt like that after that Jazz game. Like, I think, who was it? I think it was it Palmer? I forgot who it was. Somebody went in the locker room and it was dead silent after a win.
Mm-hmm.
So they felt some type of way. Even that, I mean, that a win is a win, but they ain't feel good about that win.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, the Al Davis just win thing is a lie. He always said just win, baby. He went through more coaches with winning records than any like that.
How did that work out?
And anybody who says that, go back and look. Ask Art Shell about just win,
go
baby.
Chat to tape.
You know, ask some of these coaches that had winning records that he was like just tired of. You know, hell, John Gruden, just win, baby. Or, oh, by the way, you're fired. I mean, come on. That's the biggest lie. That's just a side note there that always irritates me. When, oh, you know, just as long as you win, look at Al Davis. No, Al Davis didn't believe it himself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Al Davis, there's a lot of things about Al Davis that you have to question in some ways. Like his decision as a football manager to be like, you know what, I want speed. Speed at all costs.
And a big arm.
Just give me dudes that run fast, which I feel like I could also fall for that, I understand, but we've seen how that works. All right. But yeah, man, these next three games, it's interesting because they're not pivotal, but it feels like they kind of are, because if you think about this, right, I understand that they're not going to shift the way that you feel about this team, but you just need to get the wins, right? Yeah. Just to get to the place that you want to be. If you want to play the schedule game real quick, will you indulge me?
Oh, yeah, you'll be 9-4.
Yeah, 9-4 with then at the back end of this, and I know somebody's getting after me for kind of alluding to the Dolphins as a contender. Yeah. Fair enough. Not a contender, but at least a one of the better teams compared to this next three, this stretch next three against the Cowboys, Titans, and Jaguars, right? If you win these next three, you'll be 9-4 with a final four games of Dolphins, Chiefs, Ravens, Titans. That puts you in the realm of maybe 11 wins, possibly 10. But if you lose one in there, now you're playing a dangerous game. Now you will win the division, but are you even going to win 10 games in that moment, right? Which feels like a
That's
setback.
That's what this is all about. How does it make you feel? I don't know if it changes a whole lot.
Yeah, don't be fooled by that Dolphins team, man. Like, remember, they got out of it because Tua got hurt, and they had some awful quarterbacks playing.
I mean, we saw them last night. They did not look incredible, but they started getting back to some of the things that they can.
Yeah, I wouldn't sleep on them, man. I wouldn't look at their record and say, hey, they trash.
Yeah.
And I think this year is telling us there's not a lot of things you can take for granted in the National Football League.
Exactly.
As well. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Just getting started on a Tuesday. Appreciate you guys hanging out here in about an hour, but here in about 40 minutes, we'll have our guy B. Scott jumping in as he typically does. But coming up next, I think we kind of breezed by the fact that there was a players-only meeting on this team. What did we take from that? We'll talk about it next.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Tuesday. John Lopez, Figgy, Reginald Atitula hanging out with you. Get involved with the program by texting in to the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 713-572-4610, where 3-4-6, like, wouldn't 9-4 lock you into the playoffs? I mean, likely?
Pretty much.
But, I mean, I was about to say, you never know what happens with the Colts, man.
They looking bad.
They
right
got a long
now,
way
man.
To go.
Yeah, right. Remember when we were sitting in the press box, like, "Ooh, what if they put in Joe Flacco? Can they win this game?" That feels so far away from right now.
Ages ago,
feels like so far away. But so yeah, I mean, look, you will get into the playoffs, but it just if you continue to handle business, but it
and
just
if the Colts don't put in Sam Ehlinger,
hey, at this point.
Right. Are they going to have an open tryout on the team?
Hey, they might. Hey, Sam, you're up.
Man, what kind of shot would that be for Anthony Richardson?
Oh, man. Yeah, that'd be real.
Oh, man.
That would actually represent something
hey,
really
you come
interesting.
In. Me? No. Sam.
Not move out the way. No,
yeah, hey, the dude behind you. Get out the way.
That other guy.
That would
be looking like me.
I am thinking, though, a lot about this NFL, this current NFL, and it feels like we are shortening the window even further on opportunity to be successful.
Yep.
There's quite a few things, whether it's, you know, coached firings or players being benched, where it just feels like the time and opportunity for being successful before we actually respond has gotten so damn short.
They don't get you no time, man.
I thought it was
crazy. Arizona moved away from Josh Rosen. Now, that was the right. That was the right call, but man, this
quick.
Could work. Yeah, 1 year, that was it.
Well, let's get back to the Texans of this all, because this weekend was, I feel like, emotional. There's a roller coaster in it. You got out there to a good lead against the Lions. You ultimately surrender that lead slowly over the course of the second half, and all of that, I think, took us away from some news that we got over the weekend. And that was Jonathan Alexander letting us know that this team had a players-only meeting.
Had a players-only meeting, which, by the way, I don't know how you guys feel. Anytime I hear, hey, they had a players-only meeting, my first gut reaction is, uh-oh. That's just not a good sign.
No, I mean, like, it's always, you don't have a players-only meeting just to discuss good things. Like, you're not just like, hey, players-only meeting. Hey, Jeff's birthday is on Friday. What are we doing, right? Like, are we putting together a party? Like, it's rarely anything like that. It's usually that there's something that has clearly gone awry or not been in the right space that you have to address. Now, it's always an interesting inflection point, because it could be that this is a pebble in the river, and the river of, you know, whatever the bad thing is continues, or it can be an inflection point. And I'm interested in how you feel like this one might have been for this Texas team. And it was a really interesting piece. I encourage you to read it from Jonathan Alexander. But I think one of the things it pointed to was also the fact that, in addition to becoming the captain that he ultimately did for one of the captains on the team, Joe Mixon is the leader on the offense right
now. Yes, he is. Now, when you hear players only meeting, as I said, my first reaction is, oh, no. Sometimes they can be a good thing. I don't remember a whole lot of them where it, like, flipped a switch and all of a sudden, you know, the things start going well. But this was Jimmy Ward talking about it, and he actually indicated there might be another players-only meeting. This was after the game.
We already had, like, only players meet and told the coaches to leave, and just all of it about just staying together. Like, this, you know, this is playoff atmosphere. Like, this is how the game's gonna be, and we just gotta figure out a way to win. And we probably have another meeting too, and just try to, you know, jump on top of it and try to figure out the way, like, how can we fix this second half slump that we've been having.
Two players only meetings? Two?
That's always, okay. That's always scary, man. Because I don't know if the players only meeting is to hold themselves accountable. Like, yo, we got to pick it up.
Yeah.
Or is it like, man, I don't know what this coaching staff doing. Well, we got to stick together. Yeah.
To me, it's a reflection of the locker room. You know, like guy, either guys, we've got to take this messaging, we've got to take this coaching, and we've got to, you know, embrace it and do this and that. Or, guys, it's us. You know, it's about us.
We got to look out for us.
Yes, exactly. So that's why I'm like,
I don't know what Bob, I mean, his coaching staff is doing, man.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Yeah, the tough part about this is, like, for one, obviously, the idea of having another players meeting, you wonder, like, what is the return on investment? At what point does it cease being useful? Because it feels like the idea of a players only meeting is to shock the system.
Yes.
Right? It is to say, hey, what we're doing is not good enough. We need to shift it. But I do appreciate that it's the players taking a level of accountability for what happens here in a tangible way. And not saying that when, you know, the likes of CJ gets up there and says that, you know, I believe this is on me and I'm accountable, whatever. I don't think that they are lying there. But, you know, it is good to see that fully translated to a point where these players are like, hey, man, we need to acknowledge what our role in this is and have start conversations about how we get to that. And if we're living up to, you know, what is called of us or what is asked of us.
Mm-hmm.
I know that somebody on the text line said hopefully it was an offensive line only meeting. And that's that's where it gets interesting, because the people that are pointed to in these things. Jimmy Ward, Azeez Al-Shaair says that, you know, they've kind of had that. But Joe Mixon is one of the big ones that, you know, is pointed to. People are, again, alluding to the Houston Chronicle piece that Jonathan Alexander wrote. It's apparently everybody kind of spoke to Joe Mixon's speech being impactful. It was real. It comes from the heart, according to Joe Mixon.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I find it interesting that he comes in from the Cincinnati Bengals and is the one that, you know, with his veteran leadership and veteran status, is the one kind of speaking to this. I do wonder if his message lands on some of the places that we're thinking it needs to, especially on that offensive line.
Yeah, I think that's exactly where the gist of it came from, protecting C.J. Stroud and the offensive line. But not just that, because it has to do with, I think, not being able to score touchdowns in the second half of games.
Sure.
And that's where maybe it's like, guys, you know, Bobby is doing what Bobby does. Let's take it. But it's still on us. And I think...
Well, I mean, and one of the quotes that comes in the piece is really getting guys to understand that buying into what's being preached out there and what's being ran, it's up to us to make it shake. So, like, very much not just a, hey, man, Bobby's putting us in this position. It's like, if you need to buy in, and then you need to take what he is giving you and make it work.
Yeah. It also, there's been an array of players only meetings over the years in various sports.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of them end well or for a good reason. But I think in this case, they're talking about like, it's on us to do it. But it's not a good reflection on the coaches. Whenever there's a players only meeting, it's really not a good reflection on the coaches to me.
That the message isn't landing.
Yeah. Because ultimately the coach, that's the coach's job.
In some regard, but like, I think there's an acknowledgement that this is a two-way street. And I think this is the fear that a lot of Texans fans, onlookers, what have you, have had about this team is like, and I think it really is isolated in on the offensive line, but I mean, not to simply isolate them. Are they committed to what's happening here? Because that's kind of the language that's been used in all sorts of different avenues here, right? Are they committed? Are they bought in? Are they putting it on the line? Are they playing to the highest of their abilities or the highest of their efforts, right? Those are the kinds of tones that are used to talk about some of the players on this team. And again, this is another confirmation of that. And I think that's really the concerning part about all of this is, like, if it's not 10 weeks of football at the point where the meeting has had 9 weeks of football and a meeting, at what point do you see that energy and that effort show up, you know?
Right. We've all had moments in our lives and people in our lives where you're trying to explain something and it just doesn't, they just don't get it, right? Whether you're putting together a shelf or explaining directions or whatever it is, and it just doesn't hit. They don't get it. At some point, that's on me. That's on me to explain it a different way. And so when we, and what I'm really talking about here is like, How many times have we heard D'Amico and Bobby Slowick say, we work on this every week. We've done this every week. We tell them what to do, and for whatever reason, it's not getting done. That might be the, you know, the gist of how this players-only meeting started, but at some point, it's on them. They have to change the messaging to make it, you know, understandable.
And I agree with you there, because like when it, this is where it goes to like my, the fact that I studied communications in college, right? Which means I have a degree, but I also got a degree that a lot of people will laugh at, right? Communications, what is that? But yeah. When it comes to the mechanics of communication, mm-hmm. right? It is incumbent upon the communicator, not the communicatee, to get the message across. So I absolutely agree with you on that point. The problem for me is, I am not certain that the person who is receiving the message is open to receiving the message, and I know that mm-hmm. that would make it a lot tougher. However, I think that you are right, especially when we come back to what we've noticed with this Texas team, is that it feels like change comes slower.
Mm-hmm.
And so it feels like this is another instance where the change in the way that message gets in there might be necessary, and it might be coming, but it might be happening just a little too slow to see the effects of the change.
Yeah, but 5 players, 6 players on the line not getting it? Is that on the players? Is that, you know, a them problem? Or is that on the messenger?
That's a good question.
5 guys, 6 guys?
It's a good question.
You know?
Then we also talk about the dynamics of the room and the mentality of all these things. It feels like, as much as we would like to make it a one or the other, it feels like a combination of all those things. Mm-hmm. But players only meeting, I think you saw a level of focus in, energy in the first half of that game, but it felt like it waned a little bit.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing that'd be interesting, and especially if there's another players-only meeting coming. Like, how often is this going to have to happen, especially once you come up on these next 3 weeks of easier games, mm-hmm. if that remains necessary, that'd be a real concern. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next is it's time for our question of the day. Is there nothing that can be done to stop visiting fans from taking over NRG Stadium? All right, question of the day. What is your best solution for stopping the takeovers at NRG? 713-572-4610. We'll discuss it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Is there really nothing that can be done about visiting fans taking over NRG? That's the question of the day.
Nope. Is what it is.
Let us know if you have a grand idea to fix the takeover that we saw on Sunday with it looked like the H-Town blue,
mm-hmm.
right? Because of that Lions blue, and then the battle
the press,
red game
from the press box, it did look like a sprinkle.
Well, why aren't they getting
H-Town
sued?
Blue,
you know that woman in Tennessee.
Uh-oh.
That
ooh,
who?
Boy. I'm just...
That who?
Oh, man. Yeah, every
clear
time.
Out. Clear out, man.
There's very few instances where I'm afraid that Lopez is going to, like, cuss on air. But when he talks about the team owner of the Titans.
Yeah. That owner.
Ooh, boy. He's close. But...
That Bama.
That's exactly.
Yeah, I mean, like... You knew it was going to be a lot of Lions fans. That's a team that, you know, has a lot of passion for the team and hasn't had a lot of opportunity until very recently to do such things. But this is a constant refrain when it comes to this Houston Texans team, with Houston fans in general, because mm-hmm. it's not just the Texans. Is there anything? I don't know. I don't think so, man.
The only thing I can think of is give them something free when they walk in, not just like a towel or a t-shirt.
They've tried that. Multiple times.
Outside of a towel and a t-shirt, I mean, like something super valuable. Like the first 10,000 people that's in by this time get a free limited edition Andre Johnson bobblehead or something.
That's kind of sad, isn't it?
No, I mean.
We got to buy your support.
I mean, a little bit, but hey, man, that's as CJ lets you know, there's a lot of things to do in the city of Houston, man. Like,
oh,
you know,
get out of here.
There's a lot of stuff to do. You know what I mean? You gotta get my attention.
It's a late arriving crowd. Oh, the city's too spread out. Oh, there's a lot of things to do in Houston.
I mean, we take things slow in Houston.
Oh, they take things slow in Houston. Oh, they're on the concourse. Oh, they're tailgating. Excuses.
A Houston mindset, man.
Excuses. Here's where I am with this, and the question of the day is for our listeners and of course us here to kind of kick around. Is there anything that can be done, or are we this is where I am right now. I think I have vastly overestimated how good football fans are in this city. Now, let me qualify. Ooh, let man. Me hold on. Let me put something out there.
You saying a lot,
yeah,
man.
But the baseball and basketball fans, that's where it's at, right? That's what you're saying? He said football fans.
Fans, let me abridge it. I'm not talking to you people.
Whoa. Hey, wait, whoa.
You people.
Whoa.
I'm not talking to you people that are always there early, that are always rabid fans. That
salute to y'all.
That
man.
We were tailgating with off the chain. Like
when
off
the season
chart.
Was bad, y'all was out there.
See, a lot of people that are truly great fans get offended. We're not talking to you. We're not talking to the fans that were at all these tailgates and in the parking lots and in their seats.
Which, by the way, I feel like the extra hour tailgate did help.
Oh, it was big time.
Now, I wonder how much of that also was just because there were so many Lions fans, that's what they was here for, right? And so they got into their seats early as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it did feel like a little bit different getting in early, and I wonder how much is that's also just Sunday Night Football.
Well, yeah, well, sure.
You're later in the day.
But even on noon games, there is a big chunk, thousands.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be unfair here. Thousands of fans that are great fans that get there early and are loud and are ready and are primed and all that. Let me just say this. I'm not talking to you. All right. We're talking to the people that made a conscious decision to sell their tickets, to show up late, to not be as rabid or as loyal as others. Those are the ones we're talking to. And is there anything?
No, I mean, like, part of this is no, right? Like, I think some of this is just a basic economic factor here when you talk about, especially, well, you know, in these instances where you have a team like the Lions coming in and they have fans that are going to travel, fans that plan ahead and save a whole bunch of money to travel, and a good game with the Texans being a more formidable opponent, right? Locally, the team, you know, if you're here, you have an opportunity to make a good amount of money on that. You'll have more opportunities to see your team, right? Mm-hmm. You'll have seven more opportunities to see your team compared to their one opportunity to come down to Houston into this warm weather. As I was talking to some of the Lions fans on Sunday night, it's like, well, you know, I've never been to Texas. Nice warm weather. Come down. And yeah, like I think the destination of it changes that, plus the economics of being able to sell at a you know, great uptick. I don't know that there's much that you can do about a takeover of that nature.
Yeah, and I think, and to kind of add on to your point, I do think Houston is somewhat of a vacation spot too, where a lot of people want to come to Houston
for the warm weather, if nothing else.
Yeah, yeah, like it's a lot of good things.
Good food, good eats.
Yeah, I think it's like an under the radar good vacation spot. If you've never been here, you want to go to a game and kind of kick it too, I think people mark Houston on that calendar.
So
I think part of that's the reason too, and also I think a lot of people season tickets, I think they try to make a little extra off of it, man. Which I can't get mad at that, but I think if it's like if it's thousands of people that's giving up their tickets to try to make an extra buck, that's when you get a lot of the opposing fans in there.
Excuses, excuses, excuses.
There's some folks that are taking this to the football field where some people are saying that fans don't trust the team.
Okay.
Someone said that they sold their season ticket holder and they sold their tickets because they did not trust the team. And I think that a fair thing to point out is that people are going to the engagement that you're anticipating, that you're hoping for, that comes winning a big one, or at least being consistent contention for that. And we got to this place where we started kind of getting our hopes up that they could be in that place. And it does not feel like they're quite in that place yet. They still have an opportunity to show us that over the course of the remainder of the season. But yeah, I feel like you get a couple of seasons, a season or two of this is a team that's going to be a contender. I think you might shift the you know, mentalities and the behavior of folks, but it might just be, hey man, go win a Super Bowl, which that feels wild to just kind of put it out like that, which is like win a Super Bowl and everything changes. But you see the way that goes. I mean, you see the way that the Chiefs have been a good fan base, don't get me wrong, but you start winning Super Bowls and all of a sudden like this turns up to a different degree. And you know, the hardcore fans are obviously there, but then more of the fair weather fans obviously to jump in a bigger degree.
But Figgy, I'm sorry.
No, you good.
I just don't understand. And let's focus in on something that has been one of the excuses here. All right. And again, I'm not talking to the you know, tried and true, you know, to the proven. I'm there every day. I'm not talking to you. Let's talk about the, oh, well, Houston is spread out. I give you the Detroit Lions, okay? Houston's downtown is much more developed in terms of businesses and housing than Detroit is right now. Detroit is a big time suburban city, like spread out as much or more, you know, comparatively speaking, as Houston. They are full. They are full every game before now. That's a great team, but they've had loyal fans for a while now. They, you know, that's not something that is necessarily I think so. That's why I keep saying, is there anything? And all I'm hearing are excuses.
Yeah, it's weird too, because like we having this conversation, but I feel like it's two different conversations too, because I think the part that really gets me is not being in the seats when the kickoff happened.
Yeah.
Because you look around at other stadiums, man, they be in their seats early.
That's what I'm saying.
But then you also got the other conversation of just giving your tickets away and letting another fan base come in and invade your home.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like those are two different conversations. It's wild because you can see it in all the other sports too here.
Yeah.
Like you see, like it was wild when I first moved here and the Rockets was in the playoffs. Man, them seats was empty first half.
Yeah.
Second half, then it was full, but that first quarter in a playoff game, man, you seen a whole bunch of empty seats on TV.
Yeah, I mean, wow. When it comes down to that, it feels like there has to be an acknowledgement that this city exists like that, right? Miami is another one of those cities that just kind of exists like that. They mm-hmm. show up like, right? Yeah. And I don't know if that's something that culturally you can shift. I know that the Texans are doing what they can to try and throw in incentives, but we've talked around this a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's been a lot of conversations around this, and it might just be one of those cultural things that's really unfortunate to have to deal with. But ultimately exists there. It's the invading thing that's tough, and that's another one where that might just be, you know, winning at a high level. And then also, I wonder how much this factors in. Not to say that clearly there's been a football fan base here for a long time, and I understand that there's transplants. But the Texans as a team have been around for what, 23 years, just over 20 years, right? Like generations of time develops that fandom. In a really deep way, right? Fandom, honestly, is oftentimes about kind of familiar relationships and that commonality that you have with that team as well. And this team has had, what, one generation to be able to do that? Like, I think it might be a time.
This is a football city, whether it's the Texans, the Oilers, or whatever. And sometimes you just have to admit something that's kind of embarrassing. Maybe we're just not as good as we thought we were.
Yeah, I was thinking a little more deep into this too, man, because Houston is a city where a lot of people move here. It might not be a lot of people that's from Houston mm-hmm. and maybe not even rooting for the Houston Texans, but you might have some people that's making business decisions by investing in some season tickets and just kind of don't really care about the team, but they just using it for their business or just kind of giving it to anybody mm-hmm. or selling them or something like that. That could play a part because a smaller town like Detroit might not have that because everybody there is from, most likely is from Detroit or from Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel better about this? Do you feel like you have any answers?
No.
I don't either.
I do think the Houston Texans deserve a lot of credit, though. They're doing everything they can to try to get people there early, and they making the security line easier to walk through. Like, you don't have to take everything out your pocket now. You can just kind of walk through. They making it a lot easy. They doing the fireworks to try to let people know.
Yeah.
And
they've tried everything.
So I can't even blame them. Maybe it is on the field. I don't know.
Right, and that's why I wonder if, like, in the short term, that this is just kind of a cultural problem that mm-hmm. you're going to have to deal with. Someone on the YouTube, Wesley, saying that it's unfortunately, seeing that around 30-year-olds have friends that are fans of other teams because of that gap in football here. Like, I think that there is a little bit more to consider within there mm-hmm. When it comes down to just like how many folks are dyed-in-the-wool Texans fans how many folks are like, I like the Texans, I'll go watch the game, but it's not like in the blood necessarily. Yeah.
Or my dad might be a Titans fan because he was an Oilers fan, so mm-hmm. he went over there with the Titans. So I don't really care for the team like that.
This is depressing.
Yeah.
23 years is not a drop in the bucket. That's a generation.
Yeah. It's
a generation.
But you're comparing this to teams that have been more than generational. And I think that ends up being a tough part of it.
depressing.
Yeah, and I
it's just excuses, and it's just excuses.
And I totally give the team is bad.
Yeah.
I totally get that. But last year, they had a surprising year, and they mm-hmm. had a pretty good year, and it was still a struggle getting people there early and people giving away their tickets to mm-hmm. other fans. It was a good year last year, man.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was.
And I mean, they turned up in the playoff game, mm-hmm. but outside of that, man, it was a struggle trying to get people there, man. And they had a good year.
We haven't solved a damn thing.
No, we haven't. And I think it's because it is an issue with some complexity to it, and I'm not sure if there's an actual solution for it.
Yeah.
Other than like making it so unnecessary to be in that building mm-hmm. at kickoff, and I do wonder how much
that
is.
Sunday night football, man.
Okay. All right.
Against the Lions, and you sold your tickets. You didn't show up. You got there late. Come on.
Gotta get that bread.
Come on, man. That's sad.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Tuesday. And it is a Tuesday, which means coming up next, we'll go around the NFL, but also welcome in our guy, B. Scott. We'll do that next. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.